Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen, with the third hour of the Rob Brown Radio Program. Right here on the Fan Upstate, Robin the Great Lonzo with you. Here on the show, 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. That is the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. The text line is open at 71307, 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. You can tweet us all at the Fan Upstate. Robert Griffin III. How you feel about RG3? He's like really, like I've really turned into an RG3 fan.
He is. I don't agree with everything he says, but a lot of it I do.
I don't agree with everything he says, but I find myself enjoying him as a broadcaster.
He's doing his job. He's doing what he's supposed to do and being entertaining enough to where he's being mentioned on occasion.
I agree.
When after his football career, did you think he'd be relevant?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know where he was going to go. I didn't know if he got into broadcasting, what he was going to bring to the table. But what I can say is that he has grown on me quite a bit as of late. Well, RG3 decided to chime in, as he should, on the NFL draft.
By the way, big-time wrestling fan.
Big-time wrestling guy.
So, yeah.
Big fan of that, too. RG3 decided to chime in on the NFL draft, and he got asked specifically who he thought the steal of the draft was going to be. Anybody disagree with that? Scratch that. I know some of y'all are going to disagree with that. I suspect the majority of people who are going to disagree with that are going to be wearing orange. I don't disagree with any of it. I think RG3 is on point here.
All right, you talk about ceilings a lot.
I do.
Especially when it comes to quarterbacks. Is Spencer Rattler a starter in the NFL?
I don't think he is out of the gate. And I'll tell you why. He got beat out at Oklahoma. He transfers out. There's a lot of people who want to dress that up as a character flaw. I don't think it was. You've got to keep in mind the context under which Spencer Rattler left
Oklahoma.
There
were some maturity issues, though.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. It turns out, and this is true, sometimes, great one, 19-year-olds aren't exactly the most mature people on planet Earth. Shocking, I know. Sometimes, and I am living proof of this, sometimes 19-year-olds are, what's the word I'm looking for here? Idiots. But I would also point out that while there were some questions about maturity, and I've made this statement before, and I'll stick with it, a lot of that's on us as a society. We live in a society. A lot of that's on us because it turns out.
Well, you should be a better village then, Rob.
It turns out, and this is also true, that if you create a world where we hold athletes in these incredibly vaunted opinions, right? Like, we look at athletes, and again, I can say this. I went to high school with a kid that it was very obvious from the rip that this guy was going to be an incredible athlete. This guy was going to be a top-notch college ball wide receiver. And I watched this guy get away with everything during his high school career. He was on the basketball team with me. My basketball team went to the state championships the night before the finals on our zero tolerance policy team. This kid, along with a couple of others, got caught smoking the reefer in the team hotel. Do you want to know what his punishment was? He had to run 5 suicides, and then he got to play. On the same team.
Suicides ain't no joke, and I'm guessing if you're under the influence of something, it probably makes him a little more difficult.
I'm sure. But the rest of the team, let me put it this way. That same season, as a gag, because Rob Brown has always been hilarious, as a gag in high school for a game, I went and had cornrows put in my hair, right? Like, me and the black guys on the team, like, they thought it was going to be the funniest thing in the world. And obviously, being an idiot, I was like, yeah, this is going to be great.
Cultural appropriation. I can't believe you.
It was encouraged.
So disappointed.
My family, before every basketball game, my mom and dad would cook a big meal at the house. And all the guys would come to the house. And we would all just hang out as a team before every game. Everybody after school would come to the Brown household. The madre would cook up a big tray of lasagna or whatever. We'd all carb load together, play some video games, whatever. And then we would all go together. It was incredible team building. Got very close with these guys. And one of them one time was like, at senior year high school, the hair was a little bit longer. He's like, Rob Brown, you should do cornrows, because all the guys did cornrows together. I was like, yeah, screw it. And the coach wouldn't let me play that day because I did cornrows in my hair. That's the zero tolerance on our team. Even dumb stuff. This kid, 5 suicides for getting caught smoking the reefer, got to play. We take these athletes that are coming out of high school when we know specifically that they're going to be great athletes. And we celebrate them in a way that they don't really ever learn what real life is. And what's the reason for them to do that, right? Why would they? So, no, I don't get shocked or surprised when a future star sometimes acts like a big dummy. It doesn't shock me. It shouldn't shock any of you. So I'm not uber concerned about the maturity issues that were shown by one Spencer Rattler. It is unsurprising. But the context under which he left Oklahoma. Who was on that team? Do any of you remember? I'm sure that many of you do. It was a young man by the name of Caleb Williams. Of course, Caleb Williams, who at the time, this is before Lincoln Riley left, to go out west to California and take over as the head man at SC. This dude was expected to be there for a very long time and be a damn good quarterback. So Spence went, I'm never going to play here. I'm out. And he left. Now, he goes to Columbia. And I will tell you, as somebody who obviously at least tries to keep finger on the pulse, this guy was beloved by the Gamecock faithful in Columbia. Apparently, was just a stellar bro during his time in Columbia, South Carolina. So if there were maturity issues, and obviously I'm still hearing criticisms that, yes, Rob, there absolutely were. If that is true, he seemed to shake them once he got to Columbia, South Carolina. So let's look at Spencer Rattler, the player of the football. I agree with RG3. What doesn't the guy bring to the table? What doesn't the guy do and do well? There's not really any throws that he can't make. There's not really any spots on the field where it looks like he's uncomfortable. There's not really any positions that he can throw or any balls he can't really throw. And then there's the criticism, because it is the maturity and the lack of leadership. That's been the biggest knock on Spencer Rattler. Lonzo Spence was here in our market for two seasons as the starter of the Gamecocks. Can you, in the 2 years that dude was here, can you think of a point in time where you or I or Mark or Diesel or Cole or anybody criticized Spencer Rattler for a lack of leadership or shifting the blame or showing his butt on the sideline? Because I can't.
I can't think of either, and there has been a history of Gamecock quarterbacks getting in trouble at 5 points and other things. I don't recall him getting in trouble for anything either.
I don't either.
Which is what you would think someone who's labeled as immature would have some of those things on their record.
Yeah. I got to tell you, in retrospect, and again, it is in retrospect, but in retrospect, I am truly having a difficult time remembering a spot where we came in here on a Monday and went, OMG, I can't believe that Spence showed his butt like that. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I have a hard time remembering it. This dude, there's very little in his game that I think can't be fixed. There are some things. The decision-making probably needs to be a little bit faster. I think there is a probably good chance that Spencer Rattler got a little bit comfortable in knowing that he could fall back on the old it, Xavier's down there somewhere offense. I think that, and this is absolutely a danger for many, many college football quarterbacks. They end up getting to a spot where they are very comfortable looking at wide receiver X and going, bleep it, he down there somewhere. My guy is down there somewhere. I'm going to him and just throwing it out there. That's something you have got to get rid of before you get to the NFL, because that style of offense will not work at the next level. And if that is the case, which again, I absolutely think that there is a possibility that it is. If that is the case, that has to get shooketh. That can't be allowed to stand. That offense, that style of offense will not work at the next level. So if he got real comfortable falling on that, if he got real comfortable with the concept of, I'll just throw it down there and let great players make great plays, yeah, I'm going to need him to work on that. But that's something that can be worked on. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be most excellent at it, but it means it is something that we can at least be working on. I don't think there is a throw that I don't believe Spencer Rattler can make. I don't believe there's a spot on the field that he's weakest at. He's got good legs underneath him. I mean, he's not Lamar. He's not Jaden Daniels. But he's got good legs underneath him that he can utilize to make plays when he needs to. Again, Spencer Rattler has got a ton of potential. To answer Lonzo's question, do I think he is a day one starter? No, I do not. I do not think he is showing up and making a week one start in his rookie year. I think he is going to take more polish than Caleb Williams. I think he's going to take more polish than Jaden Daniels. But I would also make the argument, Jaden Daniels was the QB of a pro-style offense that had not one but two wide receivers who are going to be top 10 NFL draft picks. Both of the LSU wide receivers are gone in the top 10. I would make the argument that Caleb Williams was quarterbacking for USC underneath Lincoln Riley, a guy who, again, runs a very pro-style set. So he's got some of that experience. I say this with all due respect to the Gamecocks. The offense that was being run last year under Spencer Rattler, I do not think was the best offense for him to get NFL ready. It just wasn't. He did not have the talent around him to get him prepared for what an NFL offense might feel like. Again, you had Xavier, but outside of that, I don't think that Spencer necessarily had the best possibility of developing as a player. Because again, let's call it what it is, as was brought up there by RG3. The offensive line of the Gamecocks was, what did he call it? Leaky? I think leaky is a complimentary way of putting it, if we're trying to keep it a buck here. That's a complimentary way to put it. I don't think that Spencer Rattler really had the opportunity to figure out what it's like to stand behind a good offensive line, to set your feet, to find your target, to go through your progressions and to make the right throw, which also, again, hampered his ability to develop in that aspect of the football field. These are all things that, depending on the team he goes to at the next level, he will have the opportunity to grow and develop that aspect of his game. I have been saying for a minute now that I think whatever team ends up bringing in Spencer Rattler is going to have a project ahead of them. Let's call a spade here. It is going to take some development time. But I think if there is a guy that I would say is a project I'm willing to invest in, it's Spencer Rattler. Absolutely am.
Shane on the stream says, with Spencer Rattler's offensive line, you have to think he has courage.
It's not unfair. It's really not unfair.
He does. I mean, when he had time, he looked accurate. He looked like he made good decisions. So if he goes to the right team, and chances are he's going to be drafted a little bit later, so he might end up on a pretty good team, he's going to get some experience of what it's like to be protected, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking down the quarterback rankings right now, and I'm curious as to where we would slot Spencer Rattler. Here's Pro Football Focus's list. Here's their rankings. By the way, the Rob Brown mock draft will be Monday, Tuesday next week. They have Caleb Williams at number one. I don't think so. I still think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in this class. But I also understand why a lot of other people don't feel that way. They got Caleb as one. They've got Drake May as two. Let me be real clear. I don't agree with that one at all. Okay? I think Drake May is a dude that's got arm talent that makes him look very good. I think he's a dude that has got the physical build that makes him look very good. But I do not see Drake May as like a game-changing NFL quarterback, unfortunately. I think he's got the potential to be pretty good. I don't see him as a guy that in a couple of years we're all looking going, how did he slip to that spot?
See, I don't see any of these guys as being game-changing, but we'll see.
They got Jaden Daniels at three. They've got J.J. McCarthy as four. Speaking of laugh, I got a message yesterday from our buddy Chris Lewis, president of the Greenville Triumph and noted New York Giants fan. He said, paraphrasing but very close, Rob Brown, I'm telling you right now, if this is how it goes, I am out as a fan next season, because there are multiple mock drafts right now that have the New York Football Giants selecting J.J. McCarthy with the number 5 overall pick. He's like, dude, if that's the direction we go, I am bleeping out as a fan next year. I cannot imagine a world in which I'm good with that. And frankly, I get it, man. Frankly, I get it. That would be depressing, to say the least, I think, if you're a Giants fan. They got J.J. McCarthy as four. They got Bo Nix as five. No issue with that. Again, he's a captain check down player, And I do get concerned about the role of a captain checkdown player for sure. But he can make the throws. I don't trust his deep ball as much as anything else. I would also argue he's a little bit older. Not as older as Michael Penix Jr., who they have at number six. I actually would have Michael Penix Jr. slotted ahead of both Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. The biggest problem with Michael Penix Jr. is that the footwork is not perfect. And same with Jaden Daniels. He was kind of able to lean on one of the best wide receiver cores in the country. I think that Michael Penix, and the fact that he's going to be 26 when the season kicks off, meaning you don't have as long with him as a franchise guy playing his style of game as you'd like. They've got Spencer Rattler at number 7. Here's the write-up they have for Spence. Rattler has a mature game with fundamentals and pocket presence in addition to good accuracy in and out of structure. His arm is adequate, but he needs to continue to improve at seeing additional coverage defenders post-snap. He projects as a day 2 QB with starting potential. So I'm actually really fine with that write-up. I'm actually really good with that write-up.
Well, part of the problems about him reading defenses was he didn't have time to.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, but it is an apt description. And again, hopefully he ends up on a pretty good team, which he has the chance to and is able to develop.
I would agree with that. I think the concept of having a subpar arm is absolutely a reality that Spencer's going to have to deal with. And I think, unfortunately for Spencer Rattler, that is going to be the primary criticism and critique of his game transitioning to the next level, is that there have been spots where it does not look like his arm strength necessarily translates to the next level. It certainly does not mean that it does not. It's just that there are fairly question marks about it. But I would also agree with what Zoe said in the second half of that breakdown, which is very simply that my guy was playing in a system where he just did not get a ton of time. He was being harassed constantly. He was under the gun constantly. And I don't mean the shotgun. I mean constantly under a ton of pressure and never really got the opportunity to sit and consistently read, diagnose, and execute against defenses.
All right, Andrew on the stream says, I really don't understand this draft. You have a generational talent in Marvin Harrison Jr. I would take him number one. I agree with you. But I think it comes down to the team at number one apparently believed that the quarterback position is more important.
What's the most important position in the National Football League? It's quarterback. Let me clear this up. That's not a conversation.
They had a quarterback that would have worked fine with Marvin Harrison Jr. But, you know, maybe I'm a little salty because of that. But I think they jumped off and got away from him way too fast.
I don't disagree that Justin Fields may still end up translating. I think him ending up in Baltimore in Pittsburgh is a phenomenal landing spot for Justin Fields. And
The problems that Chicago has are not just quarterback related. So they're just replacing someone who might be mid their entire career with someone who might be mid or below.
I am willing to say that if you ask me right now to pick one of the two to build my franchise around, I'm going with Caleb Williams. I just am. That doesn't mean Justin Fields is going to be bad. I just think Caleb Williams is, let's pick this up on the other side. I want to talk more. It's draft. We're a week away from the draft. A week and a day. Shut up. Let's talk more NFL draft at the quarterback spot when we come back. Rob Alonso and you with the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So we're talking quarterbacks at the National Football League draft, which is 1 week and 1 day away. And I do want to go ahead and get you set on your calendar. Next Thursday, Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel will be live at Dave and Buster's in Greenville for the first night of the NFL draft. And your boy, Rob Brown, will be there because, of course, you know, I need to go provide some guidance, some positivity to the show. So I will be there. We will be talking NFL draft and who knows what else we're going to get into. I very much look forward to that. It's going to be a good time had by all. So make sure you come on out to the Wire to Wire live at Dave and Buster's next Thursday night for night one of the NFL draft. It is going to be a fantastic time. We are talking quarterbacks in the NFL draft right now. And we were talking about the Chicago Bears, who in one way kind of control this draft to some degree, because what they decide to do at one is going to have a massive impact, obviously, on what happens down the line. At this point, it is almost a given that they're going Caleb Williams. I mean, it was almost a given they were going Caleb Williams when they picked up or when they sent Justin Fields out over to Pittsburgh. And the fact that they allowed him to basically pick his spot, and reports are that they passed up better offers from other teams in order to send him to Pittsburgh, it shows that they know, they feel they might be giving up on the guy just a little easier, just a little early. And I will say that I do agree with that. I do think they are giving up on the guy a little early. I think a lot of what went wrong can be contributed to Matt Eberflus, to Ryan Poles. And it's not really Ryan Poles because he's relatively new as the GM there. What I will say is, if you ask me right now today, based on what I've seen out of Justin Fields, which of those two I would rather have to build a franchise around, I've got to go with Caleb Williams.
Why do you have to?
Caleb Williams.
Let me rephrase this. So you already know what you get with Justin Fields in the NFL. What makes you think Caleb Williams is going to be better?
It's not that I know he's going to be better. It's that there's a chance he's going
to
be better.
So the situation is improved in Chicago to a degree that he's going to be better.
I think Caleb Williams is a quarterback that is more appropriately built for the NFL. I think he can do everything with the legs that Justin Fields can do, but better. And I think he's got a bigger arm. Now, as far as the decision-making process and all that, we'll see what happens at the next level.
By the way, Justin Fields was a better passer in college football and probably better than Caleb Williams in college football. He didn't start developing his running until he got to the NFL and he had no choice.
I am not willing to go down that road that far with you. I think that Justin Fields had the benefit of some stellar skill position players in Ohio State.
Here we go.
Does that count for nothing to you?
Well, apparently it matters most when you're trying to put someone down.
No, it doesn't. I literally think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in this draft and literally knocked him earlier that he had two NFL top 10 picks as wide receivers, and that's why I think some people are devaluing him, and I accept that as an argument.
So Caleb Williams didn't have,
for the record,
didn't have any
off,
talent where he played.
Hang on. Let me rewind this 8 seconds. I'm not knocking Justin Fields. Saying Patrick Mahomes is better than Lamar Jackson isn't a knock on Lamar Jackson. It's just that's how good this guy looks like he's going to be. I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be an all-time NFL quarterback. But in terms of just the build and the physical abilities, he's got more of them than Justin Fields does. He is bigger, he is stronger, he is faster, and he's got a cannon of an arm. All things, he's got an edge on Justin Fields. That's not a knock on Justin Fields. Raising someone up is not the same as knocking someone else down. I also quite literally just said, I think the Bears gave up on Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields can go to Pittsburgh and be a fantastic quarterback. I think the system, the situation for him in Pittsburgh is the best he could have asked for. I think it made perfect sense that he went there. I think Justin Fields can be a good quarterback. I think the knock on Caleb Williams is primarily twofold. Number one, he did not have the successful season at SC that everybody thought he was going to have. But the one place I'm not putting that on is on Caleb Williams. Number two, I think there are a lot of people who are looking at the painted nails and the pink phone case and going, that means he can't succeed. He ain't man enough to do it.
Yeah, I don't care about all that. All I know is that I do believe you're wrong. I don't think he's a better quarterback than Justin Fields, especially comparatively, because you've got to compare their college careers, and Justin Fields is better. He just is. Chicago made a mistake by letting Justin Fields go, and the one thing they're going to do is they're either going to stay where they were or they're going to get worse. Are they going to improve? Is their record going to be better by bringing in Caleb Williams?
Yes.
No way.
But it's not just Caleb. It's not just Caleb Williams. There are other variables here. This is why the damn motto of this show ought to be nuance matters. Like, I swear the most frustrating thing in sports media to me is everybody trying to make an issue X or Y, and there are no other options. Oh, if Caleb, is the record better because Caleb Williams is there? No, the record is better because they have added DeAndre Swift, because they've got DJ Moore for a full season, because they are stacked with draft picks in this draft. They are going to have not just DJ Moore, but I'm relatively convinced at this point they're going to end up with one of those first round wide receivers with their second pick. They're going to add across from DJ Moore a Roma Dunze Brian Thomas out of LSU. They are going to have one of the best skill sets around Caleb Williams. Is that unfair to Justin Fields? You're damn right it is.
Just to me, it's a mistake. You go with Marvin Harrison Jr., you take care of other stuff, and then if you want another quarterback, you get it next year. You talk about having a great receiver next to a great receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the way they should have went.
I don't disagree. Here's the reality. I understand. I'm not saying your opinion's wrong, and I understand this is an appeal to authority, which is a logical fallacy that I preach against all the time. But the reality is, dude, 95% of draft scouts believe Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in this draft. For the record, I also disagree with them. I think it's Jaden Daniels. But I would also make the argument that the overwhelming majority of people who analyze this stuff believe Caleb Williams has more physical properties. I don't know yet what he's going to be at the NFL level. But if I'm just looking at the build and the capabilities, Caleb Williams is more built to be a prototype NFL quarterback. Doesn't mean he will be. Just means if I got to roll the dice, because here's the other side of the argument here. The other side of the argument here is, yes, Chicago's been bad as an organization. I don't understand why we're sticking with Matt Eberflus. He won a couple of games at the end of the year after Chicago was already out of it. Big freaking whoop. I get all of that. But the other side of the equation here is, Eberflus is fighting for his job. I don't think Ryan Poles is fighting for his job, but if the team tanks this year, he will be. He is fighting the hot seat of going on the hot seat. There are a lot of people in Chicago that if this year is a failure for the Bears, will be either out of or fighting for their job right now. And as I said earlier, if you went gun to head and made me pick one of these two guys to build my team around for 1 year of success, everything in the build says Caleb Williams is the right pick, because the Bears have been bad with the exception of the last five games of last year, name me a stretch of games where Justin Fields, you went, that guy's the future, everybody else is the problem. Because there was never a point where he really shined. That's not there. Justin Herbert has had stretches where even on a bad Charger team, he has shined. His talent has been unavoidable, incontrovertible. There are good quarterbacks on bad teams where they shine through. Has Justin Fields shined through where you went, that guy's not the problem?
Here's what, to me, Chicago is doing. They're putting a Band-Aid over a huge wound by doing the one thing that a lot of teams do. I know, we'll just get a new quarterback. When the problems are all over the place and they can fix those problems first and then get another quarterback down the line who's actually better than the one that's going to end up getting.
Again, I for the record, I am on board with you that I do not believe Caleb Williams is the generational superstar that he's being made out to be. Pro Football Focus is right up, ends with, quote, this is a quarterback with franchise-changing talent that is worthy of a number one overall selection. Again, I'm riding with Jaden Daniels as the guy with that description at the next level. And I may very well eat crow on either or both of these guys once they get into the show. All I'm saying is, I think Justin Fields is fine. I think he's fine, and I think he's got potential to be good. I'm very excited for him in Pittsburgh. The pressure is off of him. Russell Wilson's going to take all the heat out of the gate. And Russell Wilson can, whether it is by mentoring or just by being in the same building, teach him how to play a very similar style of quarterback that Russell Wilson played during his time. And if things go bad for Russell Wilson, Justin Fields can step in and try to fix the issue. And if things go great for Russell Wilson, he's going to leave next year for a bigger contract elsewhere. And Justin Fields will have had a year that he probably needed as a rookie to sit down and learn. And I think that's going to be immensely valuable. I think he can be good. But looking at just the physical aspects of this guy, Caleb Williams is more built to be an NFL quarterback. I'm not even saying you're wrong. I'm saying I understand Chicago's desire because you're right. There's a lot of problems that can be fixed. But here's the thing. As good as Marvin Harrison Jr. is, and I agree he's the best receiver in this class, I do not think he is heads and shoulders above Malik Nabers. I think Malik's right in that back pocket with Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that Brian Thomas and Roma Dunze are right in the back pocket of Malik Nabers. I think there are four, maybe five wide receivers in this draft, all within the same box of potential. And I think Caleb Williams is that much further ahead of Justin Fields as a prospect.
And there's a shot that those receivers that you're talking about will still be in the NFL 4 or 5 years from now, and some of these quarterbacks will not.
There's also a shot that none of these wide receivers in the league and all of these quarterbacks in the NFL, you can't utilize, there's a shot they wash out as a reason not to draft a guy that is a built prospect. And Caleb Williams is. He is. All right, let's take a break. I want some of your thoughts. Where are y'all falling on this? We got a couple of texts that have come into the show, a couple of comments on the live stream at facebook.com/thefanupstate or on YouTube at The Fan Upstate. We'll address them when we come back on The Rob Brown Show on The Fan Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Rob Brown Show continues here on the Fan Upstate. Texter says, Caleb Williams is a head case. He got exposed in and after the Notre Dame game that if you box him in, he's worthless. Look at his stats. Let me go find the second half of that text because I do want to finish it. He said, we got to get a we got to clean this up. Look at his stats after the Notre Dame game. Garbage, as was his head. Jaden Daniels is the real deal. For the record, I absolutely agree that Jaden Daniels is the real deal. I think that guy is going to be I don't think there's an aspect of the game that Jaden Daniels lacks. The only conversation that the only negative in the conversation about Jaden Daniels is that the guy runs into hard contact, and that's a big problem. I am going back and looking at Caleb Williams' stat this year. In the Notre Dame game, Caleb Williams went 23 of 37 for 199 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions, and was sacked six times, a QB rating of 100, which was his lowest on the year. The bounce back game the next week was Utah, 24 of 34 for 256, no touches, no picks. Game after that, 23 against Cal, 23 of 40. Let's go to his next ranked opponents. Against Washington, a team that, of course, would go on to compete for a national championship. 27 of 35, 312 yards, three touchdowns. Against Oregon, a team that would compete for a Pac-12 championship and play in a de facto playoff game because the winner of that game was going to the playoffs. 19 of 34, 291, a touch, no interceptions. UCLA, 31 of 42, 384 yards, one touch, and one interception. And I would also point out that he was playing on a team that gave up 25, 24, 21, 31, 40, 25, 37, 34, 40, 35, 34, 42. It wasn't exactly like he had run support in these games. I know I'm sounding like a Caleb Williams apologist.
But it's not his fault. This defense was horrible. He had to come from behind all the time. I mean, that's
you
what
know,
it sounds
for
like,
a guy who opened the show, great one, with the rest of the Pelicans failed Zion, you sure have changed to the opposite side of the aisle of no. It's not that his team was bad. It's that he's bad.
By the way, I was just saying that's what you sound like. I wasn't agreeing or disagreeing. I was just
saying. Do you agree or disagree?
That's what you were sounding like. I agree that that's what you sound like.
Do you agree that what I am saying is right or wrong?
Which part?
That Caleb Williams was playing for quarterback for a team that could not offer him defense or run support to assist.
If he scored more points, he wouldn't need his defense to bail him out.
There it is. There it is. That's not how football works.
Yeah, it is.
If you
score more points, you win the game. That's exactly how not only football works, but all sports.
When teams are taken out of their ability to play their game because they are having to make up for a defense that is a failure, and it was, it changes what a guy can or has to do.
That defense was really good the year before?
No.
So then they are playing their game. So they consistently have bad defense. That is their game.
Was Caleb Williams a quarterback the year before?
No, but you're missing the point. You were saying.
No, I'm arguing the point's wrong.
Doesn't mean you're right.
It doesn't. But my argument is that when you are locked into a team like USC that's given up 42 every game, it makes what Caleb Williams has to do to be successful more difficult.
A school that has bad defense. Why didn't he pick a school that had better defense?
Is that how that works?
In this day and age, absolutely. You can go wherever you want.
My dude followed Lincoln Riley, who, by the way, can we be honest, looks like a fraud.
They never had good defense.
Looks like a fraud.
So it is historically bad defenses under him. So why go there? What I'm saying is you picked a school where you knew you wouldn't have good defense.
I think they were supposed to have a very good defense, and it failed.
Since when? I mean,
since this year. They were a projected top four preseason with a projected top 10 defense.
I don't remember that. I definitely would have laughed at that.
All right. Let's see. Texture says, Fields is trash. Lonzo's just the salty Buckeye fan. Of course he says that.
Thank you, Michigan, dude.
Texture said, love Spencer Rattler as a target for the Vikings. Texter said, Johnny Football, perfect example. I would say Johnny Football kind of the opposite of Spencer Rattler, in that Johnny Football absolutely came across as, and again, I loved me some Johnny Football.
Big star. I mean, he came in with, you know, big star quality, going to put fans in seats and a lot of things.
For the record, he absolutely did that.
For a little while. Yeah.
He ended up not being good at the NFL. But if you've watched the doc, you know there was a lot more problems than his talent.
That's
his
true.
Issues were off the field, not on them. As of
there were some on the field, too.
Well, there were.
Yeah.
As of right now, this is what I was talking about with Spence. As of right now, what off-the-field issues do we know about with Spencer Rattler? I've not heard of any. And usually they make their way, little birdies chirping my ear. They did not for him. All right. We got to take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, hating ass Mario Heron going to join us. We'll make a run up and down the play-in games from last night, the playoff games for tonight, and the playoff bracket as they are set to get started this weekend in the NBA. Before we do any of that, Lonzo set to just blow your mind with this sports flash.
No, that would be you. I thought I saw little birdies flying in there. That looks painful. The NBA playoffs will feature LeBron James after the LA Lakers knocked off the New Orleans Pelicans in the play-in tournament last night. Yes, I emphasized that as he walked through the door. 110-106. New Orleans trailed by as many as 18, but tied the game with minutes to play before Zion Williamson left with a leg injury. Williamson had 40 points, 11 boards, and an injury update is expected later today. Hasn't happened yet. Golden State Warriors got outscored 31-22 in the first quarter by Sacramento and were never able to fight back as they were eliminated. That means they're going home, no longer in the playoffs, by Sacramento, 118-94. More on that coming up with Mario in just a minute. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and a whole lot of fun. And it's all Wire to Wire.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.